Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTillo along with Charlie Long. We're joined now by Jeff Nowak and our triple option feature. Jeff, I'm going to throw it to you first because you got some breaking news. And finally, it's happened with Brandon Ayuk.
I got stuff to talk about.
Stuff.
Yeah. Brandon Ayuk, you know, the one of the, 90 players who seems to be holding out right now. They agreed on a four-year, $120 million dollar contract extension, the 49ers, $76 million guaranteed. And, you know, that's one of their major holdouts. They also have Trent Williams out there holding out. We saw CeeDee Lamb holding out. He got his big deal. We saw, you know, Ja'Marr Chase is kind of holding out. Like, if you're an NFL GM, what do you do? How do you win this? It's like, when's the last time you saw a star player? I don't even know if Brandon Ayuk is at the top of the wide receiver position to be holding out, but he's going to do that, and he's going to get his money because they always get their money. If you're the Cowboys, every single free agent until the end of time is going to hold out because every time it happens, they get paid. Zeke got paid. Zach Martin got paid. CeeDee Lamb got paid. Next year, this time, you're going to see Dak holding out saying, you're going to pay me. You're going to make Micah Parsons, right? Oh, you're going to pay me $60 million? No, you don't want to? All right, enjoy Trey Lance for a couple months, and then you're going to pay me because that's how this deal works. And I don't know how you win that scenario if you're a GM other than doing what the Saints have been doing. And this is why when the Saints agree to extensions with guys like Cesar Ruiz, Pete Werner, ahead of schedule, that's the only way you win those scenarios. You got to get that extension in before the guy feels slighted and says, I want to reset the market. It's okay. The only way.
I was telling this to Charlie. When that broke with Tyson Campbell signing right with Jacksonville, I said, Charlie, the Saints better get back to the drawing board because he set the market for the young corners. And Paulson Adebo is going to say, wait a minute, I want every nickel that Tyson Campbell got.
Once you get to the contract year, you've already lost. Like, that's why, like,
you ain't going
to
win it.
If you want a good deal on an extension, you have to extend them. It's a four-year contract. Get them going into year three. Otherwise, I don't know what you do.
It's basically the Amon-Ra St. Brown extension, isn't it? I mean, and Ayuk is, I think, kind of like, to your point, Jeff, I think he's borderline top 10. I wouldn't say he's top 5.
Yeah, that's the way I feel about it.
I think that offense makes him look a lot better than he is. I think you could plug a lot of receivers into that offense and see a lot of success.
Well, we talked about it, man.
I would love to see him in Washington with Jaden. And I think he would shine with Jaden Daniels as well. So,
okay, and you got McLaurin, too.
Yeah.
Man, he takes a little bit of pressure off the fact I'm not having all that rotation coverage. And the same thing in San Francisco. You got Debo. Mm-hmm. And you got George Kittle. Okay,
know.
Pick your poison. What you want to do downfield? It's not like in Kansas City. Okay, at one time when they had Tyreek Hill, that was a different story. Man, it's amazing to watch Kelce get open. Okay, well, look, the receivers on the other sides of him. Most people would have a difficult time. Now, today it's a little bit different because they've spent some cash and early round picks on receivers. But what Kelce's been able to do without Tyreek Hill, that's unreal.
Well, the scary part, too, is just in terms of the contract, and I'll button this up, I promise. Trent Williams is 3 years into a six-year deal. Like, we're not talking about a guy
and he's 36 years old.
Right. And he's already getting paid at the top of his position. Like, that's crazy. I don't know, as a GM, like, and I'm all for players getting paid, but come on.
I do know one thing. They better get Trent in camp. Because if you think their offensive line is good because of one cat.
Yeah. Well, he knows
and
that.
And it's Trent Williams.
Right,
and I know it. Yeah. You know, and he knows it. Yeah, and everybody else knows it. His deal is, man, you ain't nothing. If I'm not up front protecting the backside of Brock Purdy on this deal. And so I don't know how they're going to maybe make ends meet with Trent Williams, but you better get it done.
Yep.
Guys, I'm going with some fun kind of with the White Sox. I mean, I just can't not talk about them. This is just one of the goofiest storylines that's been happening in Major League Baseball. For the first time in basically the 162-game history, a team has reached 103 losses before the end of August, and they lost their 104th game today. They got swept by the Texas Rangers,
good
who, by the way, have more wins in Chicago. It's outside guaranteed rate field than the White Sox do in the second half of the season.
They should change the name to guaranteed loss field.
The White Sox are 4-37 in their past 41 games, and right now, with a 31-104 record, they're looking at history, gentlemen, but not the type of history that you want to make as a sports fan. In the 162-game era of the MLB, the worst record was the 2003 Detroit Tigers, who finished 43-119. Guys, I think we're going to see the worst team in MLB history this year in the
wild.
Chicago White Sox. I think they're going to blow past that. I wouldn't be surprised if they reach 125 losses and beat it by like six games. And in all honesty, with how they've been playing, it's not out of the question that they reach 130 losses. So that's just something to keep an eye on. We talk about, like, we were slamming the Pistons when they were really bad and going on that extended losing streak. The White Sox had their own incredible losing streak this year. But we're looking at the wrong side of history for the Chicago White Sox this year, gentlemen. And if they finish basically August the way they did, and in September the way they did the second half of the season, yeah, you could see a team with 125 losses.
Yikes. You talk about receivers getting paid, and look at it. Justin Jefferson's making $35 million annually if you cut it down. CeeDee Lamb, 34. A.J. Brown, he's not only done it once, he's hit the Powerball twice, $32 million. Amon-Ra St. Brown, $30 million. Who's tied for fifth? Tyreek Hill, Brandon Ayuk at $30 million apiece annually. So, man, that goes to show you, you know, you don't want to play running back no more. They don't pay you. You want to play wide receiver. And look at that kind of money. Jalen Waddle, he's seventh. He's getting $28.25 million a year, and Davante Adams getting $28 million. And you think about how, I think more than any position, people talk about the quarterbacks getting paid, but they always got paid more than everybody else. Look at the jump at wide receiver throughout the last 5 years. That enormous jump of money.
That's why we were talking about with Travis Hunter, Mike, that, you know, he may be better as a
playing receiver.
He may be better as a prospect at corner, but he's going to want to play receiver because you see these types of contracts.
Yes.
No, absolutely. I mean, you have multiple guys getting paid over $30 million annually. Like, if you would have said that a few years ago, that would have been ridiculous.
I mean, if you go back 10 years, quarterbacks aren't making even close to what wide receivers are making today.
No.
Like, the wide receivers are making quarterback money.
And that is the biggest change from a salary cap standpoint that we've seen in the last 5 years of what you've got to pay top receivers today. That's why if you got them, keep them there 3 years. Maybe you think about dealing them off and then redrafting another
one. Good luck
one.
Paying a top quarterback and a top wide receiver at the same time.
It's going to be difficult. That's why Tyreek Hill's in Miami.
Right.